Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Stefan Allert. Since 2007, Stefan is the vice president of sales at Hyperstone, a producer of flash memory controllers for industrial embedded storage solutions. Stefan brings more than 20 years of sales and management experience in the semiconductor and electronics market. Welcome to the podcast, Stefan.
Hello, Daniel. Nice to be here with you and looking forward to a nice session.
Great. So I'd like to ask you how you got started in semiconductors and, more importantly, what brought you to Hyperstone?
Okay, yeah. So I'm in the semiconductor industry since I joined Hyperstone. Before that, I did an engineering degree at the university here in Germany, started in the aircraft industry, went to Siemens into the automation industry, and my former boss there at Siemens went as a CEO to Hyperstone. And when he joined Hyperstone, he asked me to more or less come with him and take over the responsibility for the sales. So as I was new in semiconductor, many things were new. I knew the basic technology like transistors, but had no huge experience when I started with Hyperstone. But it was fun and it was a challenge, and I enjoyed to learn new things. And now I'm in that business since quite a long time.
All right, 2007. So which markets is Hyperstone targeting currently?
Currently, we are targeting flash controller market. Flash controller are in SD cards, in SSDs, in USB sticks, and you can find them in the large retail chains, and you can buy them online. But you cannot buy a Hyperstone based product in a retail market, because we are focusing on industrial applications, so high quality applications, where data integrity is a key thing. We are focusing on that since 2007, since I joined the company, and the market developed pretty good over the years. There are a lot of need in the market for highly reliable solutions, and in the last years even security becomes an issue in that market. So this is what we are focusing on, so highly reliable solutions.
Right, security is a big deal. So how do these markets differ from traditional consumer markets?
They differ very much in respect of, for example, they're asking for a long-term supply of components. So changing components every 2 to 3 years requires a new qualification at the customer, which is associated with a lot of cost. So a fixed bill of material is a key thing for those customers, as they want to avoid these requalifications with all the problems which might pop up, rolling out new stuff in the field. So that means bringing down that risk in changing components is one key factor. Another one is mature technology. So you can just summarize it in, it simply works. It simply has to work flawlessly, without any huge additions, without any support in the field. But that also leads me to the other thing, even not requiring a lot of service in the field. Everybody knows, all the people listening to that podcast know, there is no such thing like a bug-free system or bug-free firmware. There are always some bugs. And if a bug occurs, it occurs much less, with a much less probability on our side than with other solutions. But every once in a while, it happens. And when it happens, we have to be fast. We have to provide a service. We have to analyze the system. We have to respond fast. We have to keep the customers up to date. And at the end of the day, we need to generate a report. And we are working here with AD reports, which were first mostly used in the automotive industries, which brings down any single fault to the root cause. And this is important for our customers to judge if the problem is a real problem in the field, which could be a big problem or a less big problem. How can it be solved? And all this comes together in our service organization and the quality management organization, which is key part of our organization in general.
Right. Managing risk for sure. So Why would someone choose Hyperstone and its products? You know, what is your value proposition?
Yeah, we deliver products which provide a reliable quality. So reliable quality does not start with only a higher temperature range. So usually industrial products are from minus 40 to plus 85 degrees. But there's more about industrial solutions. From our side, we have industrial product in mind when we start the production. So it starts, for example, with choosing the IP for our hardware. It starts with the software development tools and processes we use. All that together brings a reliable product to the market. And the product is not maturing in the market. When we issue a product, it's already working as it should. So as I said before, it simply works. It simply has to work. By this, we need to ensure that our customers are not getting field returns, because this is a huge problem. Our customers are, for example, companies doing 5G networks. You know those guys, the big players in the area. You know the European players like Ericsson or Nokia. You know the Chinese players like Huawei or ZTE. When you have a base station somewhere on a skyscraper or in the woods on a mountain, if something fails there, it's associated with a huge amount of work and downtime to exchange a component. And as the storage device in such a base station is a key product, because it hosts the operating system, so it's the boot device. And having that in mind, it means it has to be up 100% in time. And when you see the quality of service requirements in these systems, it's 10 minutes in 10 years where the base station is allowed to be down. You will never be able to exchange a storage device in 10 minutes on a mountain, or not even in a building. You're not able to do that, because you have to go there, you have to open the system, you have to exchange the component. In that case, it's an EUSB, and then bring the station up. 10 minutes is nothing. So therefore, failure is not an option. This is one thing which is very important for us. Then another very important thing, and I said that in the very beginning, is security. Our products have built-in security infrastructure. So we, for example, supply AES encryption engines. We supply elliptic curve cryptography engines, so very tough word, to ensure that the customer can build own security solutions, to define certain partitions where data is secured by a password. Or you can even connect a smart IC to the system, meaning that you have the highest level of security available currently to ensure that your data is not accessed by somebody who is not allowed to access. So this is another very important thing which always plays a huge role in our developments. So security is the other very, very important thing. That was the hardware, but also security in the supply chain. And here the security in the supply chain not necessarily means that the systems are not stolen, but having always the product on hand when you need it. And we just went through a very tough period of time where all components were short. And we took some precautions. So we have bought slots, enough slots at our suppliers. We have ensured the logistics. All that stuff comes together when you need to be a reliable partner for your customer. So it's not only about hardware and software. It's about many more things. It's about security. It's about supply chain. And all that together make a company a reliable partner. And this is in the focus of us in our daily business. So it's in our DNA at the end of the day.
Interesting. That's great examples. So you mentioned supply chain. So, you know, supply chains have been very difficult for the electronics companies and, of course, the semiconductor industry. How is Hyperstone preparing for this situation? You know, how are you solving this problem?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting question. And to be honest, we haven't asked that question 5 or 6 years ago. We were simply relying on one or two partners. not having some contingency procedures in place. But this changed significantly over the last 5 to 6 years because we saw some crises coming, maybe not those critical crises as we were experiencing in the last year. But nevertheless, we took decisions to change fab partners, for example. One of our greatest partners is GlobalFoundries. We are currently producing our state-of-the-art controllers in a GlobalFoundries fab in Singapore. But there is not only this fab which can build our products. There are fabs, for example, in Dresden, in Germany, where we are located as a company, and in upstate New York. So if something would happen in Singapore, we would, of course, not be able to move from one day to the other to the other fab, but we have some contingency procedures in place for that. So this is the first step, the MAFER production. Then it comes to packaging and test. We currently do that 100% in Taiwan. Nevertheless, as we are now belonging to Swissbit, Swissbit is a manufacturer of SD cards, SSDs, headquarters located in Switzerland and a production facility in Berlin. And we are establishing test and packaging alternatives in our own fab in Berlin, in Germany, to have a contingency also when something would happen to packaging and test facilities in Taiwan. This is what we are currently building up based on that what we saw during the course of last year. So these are two things which are very important. The other side of the coin is that we talk to customers to ensure supply chain security with those guys together. Get forecasts, talk to them about stock levels on their side, on our side, on the fab side, through the whole supply chain to manage inventory efficiently. But at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is to be always able to deliver. And this takes quite a huge effort, not only resource-wise in respect of people, but also in respect of money. So resource level on our side are definitely higher than on the consumer side, because we have to be able to deliver even on short-term notice. And that's what we're going to do since 15 years now. And this is what we are known for in the market. So planning together with the customer, planning through the whole supply chain is also a key thing for us and our customers.
But are customers carrying a higher level of inventory now than they have in the past, just in case, you know?
Yeah. Yes, they do. They definitely do. We see that through the whole market that during the last year, during the current year, during 2022 and also 2021, we saw huge volume going into the market. And we already assume that this is much more than needed. There is a lot of stock in the market, inventory in the market, but I think we are one of the lucky companies where customers really believe on our competence in delivering on time and did not overstock too much. So yes, we see a huge inventory in the market. We are also hit by that, but I think we are not hit that badly compared to others.
Yeah, I think 2023 might be a little bit of an inventory correction, but I don't think it's going to be that bad, to be honest with you, for the reasons you've stated.
Yeah, I agree. I fully agree. I think this is that everybody knows that there is quite a number of inventory in the market, but it will not be as bad as many people see it now. So I'm not that pessimistic for 2023. Of course, being the VP of sales, I cannot be pessimistic. It has to be in my DNA to be optimistic. But I think this optimism is also based on some facts. It's not only just the gut feeling.
Yeah, I agree, by the way. I think 2023 is going to be an okay year. There's going to be an adjustment, of course, but I don't think it's going to be bad at all. But of course, I'm a pretty optimistic person as well. What does 2023 hold in store for Hyperstone? I mean, what projects and opportunities, you know, what challenges will you face next year?
Yeah, we are facing, of course, as each and every company and person in the world would like to grow. We want to grow in 2023. We have a couple of nice projects ahead of us. So we're going to introduce a new eMMC controller at the end of next year. We will have a brand new firmware to cope with the challenges of the actual flash generations. So failure correction security is another issue to better handle security designs in the system. Therefore, we develop a completely new firmware architecture, which should also be ready end of the year, so end of 23. These are quite pretty tough challenges. And in parallel, we are doing another hardware development, which is our first NVMe PCIe controller for the industrial market. And this will be a very unique product because it is targeting really industrial applications. So we are not heading for the highest performance. What we are heading for is lowest power consumption and highest reliability. And reliability in that respect means not only that the controller is up and running, but it is up and running reliably. And when I talk about running reliably, I mean a steady state performance. So current PCIe controllers have a huge maximum performance. But when it comes to temperature, higher temperatures, when you do not have an active climatization or a fan or something like that in the system, they have to throttle down performance. And our goal is to have a controller which has the highest possible steady state performance over the whole temperature range from -40 to 105 degrees. I'm not talking 85, 105 degrees. So this is the goal. And to achieve that, we need lowest power consumption to ensure that the self-heating is at the lowest possible point. And in that respect, also bringing down the controller generated heat in the system down to the minimum level to be able to run the system reliably over the whole temperature range. And this is quite a challenge, and our engineers are working on that. We have some nice concepts on that. And this is also another point of focus area for next year. So new product developments is definitely a very interesting challenge for us. And the other is to keep the good supply activities we have with our customers, to keep our customers happy, to supply additional systems into the market like an API. So we have an application programming interface, which allows customers to develop their own firmware extension. So the basic firmware is supplied from us. The customer gets a programming interface, and then the customer can, for example, develop an own security solution. Key management, for example, by their own. They simply do an addition to the basic firmware. They link it to the firmware, they compile the firmware, and they have a security firmware, which they own. So the customer extension is their own IP. So we don't interfere with that. And in security, this is very important because in the security area, nobody wants to share their details because everything has to be secure. And the less people know, the better it is. And this is all things which are in our, which we already have in place. So we already have an API, but we will improve that with a new firmware to make it even easier and faster, the whole system faster, the development time faster, the whole system faster when you implement security in a storage solution. And I think security, everybody talks about security, but nobody is, or nobody, no, I don't say nobody, but not many people or only few people are really acting like they should be, because security, data security, data integrity, these are things which are very important for the market, for the customers. So to influence a traffic management system or a car or a base station and get user data, this is a no-go, but it happens every day. And from my perspective and from our perspective as a customer, as a company, there is not enough activity in that area yet. And this is what we want to evangelize in next year, even more than we did in the past. Security, security, security. This is one of the key things for us next year, definitely.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Security is talked about quite a bit on SemiWiki, but I don't see as much activity as I think I would like to. So that's good to hear. And you know, that's going to be a busy year for you in 2023, but that's good. I think customers tend to design extra, you know, when there's challenging economic times, they design out of, you know, the challenges. And I think we'll see many more design starts and activities next year. And it sounds like you guys are well prepared for that.
Yeah, we hope so. We believe that we have taken the right measures, the right steps towards that. But still, there's a way to go for us as well. So we are not there yet, which is good, because then we would not have anything to do. So, but I don't see that problem coming up in the next years. We are working in a very dynamic environment. Semiconductor is a very dynamic environment. Flash, NAND flash is a very dynamic environment. So the flashes are getting worse and worse. You store more and more bits in one cell, which makes the handling, the management of the flash not easier for us. So there are a lot of challenges ahead of us, of which we are aware, and with which we have to cope in the next years. So there's a lot of challenges ahead in that industry in the upcoming years.
Yeah, especially for the industrial market. But I've never seen a more exciting time in semiconductors. You know, this is my 40th year, and I'm just amazed at the things we've accomplished. And, you know, congratulations on your success. Hyperstone is a very successful company, and, you know, I enjoy working with you. And it's a pleasure to meet with you, Stefan. And I hope we can speak again next year and get another update.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed the podcast as well. So I'm really looking forward to redo that with you next year. Maybe we can get in touch when something really important and interesting happens, and get a little bit deeper in the things. So we have touched the many things on the top level. I would also enjoy to go a little bit more deeper in one or the other topic with you.
Yeah, I agree. You know, aging is always a big topic with semiconductors, especially in the industrial market. So maybe we can go into a little bit more in depth on that next time. And, you know, it's just been a wonderful conversation, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you again next year.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me as well. And hope to see you soon. Huh?
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.